Welcome to Inside Analog Photography Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is all about traditional process photography. We talk about instant photography. We talk about black and white. We talk about color film. We talk about dry plate, wet plate, you name it, alternate printing processes, everything going on in analog photography. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, www.richardphotolab.com, DR5, www.dr5.com, Iger Studios, check them out, igerstudios.com, and of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. Our media partners, www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group, the community for analog photography, our photographic philanthropy partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, www.geh.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to have with us Amy Postel. Amy is a editorial photographer out of New York City, also working in Miami, doing tons of great work, but the most incredible, beautiful photography of women, the most feminine stuff you'd ever see, beautiful work, great use of film, black and white, with the texture of the grain. This stuff is over the top. You really got to check out Amy's website. And of course, we're lucky to have her with us today, and we're going to be chatting about all things going on with Amy Postel. Amy, how's it going today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Great to have you on Inside Analog Photo. Really cool to have you join us to speak about your work that is just stunning, amazing, beautiful photography, your continued use of film and support of the whole analog community, and this is just beautiful stuff.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be on and a good honor. Yeah, thank you so much.
So, Amy, let's chat about your photography to start with here. How would you classify what you're doing? Would you put yourself as an editorial position? Would it be advertising? What would you say your genre would be? Women?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a weird general category, but that's kind of what it is. I mean, I shoot editorial, I shoot commercial advertising. My work goes across the board. It's just really, I guess, what it's about, and the voice of my work is so specific. The purpose of my work has always been to promote a sense of authentic beauty and encourage women to have a positive body image and great self-esteem and be fun, flirty, sensual, cinematic, but really speak to women. Whereas a lot of people that photograph women, it's sexier or a little bit more on the sensual side, that they're always gearing more towards men. Mine is definitely gearing more towards women. I want to have them look at the photographs and feel more confident or better about themselves or sexier or more confident in general.
Well, definitely so, and I think that you're trying to bring out this empowerment in women and their bodies and how they, I think, can feel better about what they're doing and the whole image together. Do you find that you have a lot of individual female clients that are booking you to shoot just series of images of them?
Yeah, actually, in the last few years, I've been getting booked a lot like that, which has been really kind of fun and exciting. Instead of shooting models or people they know they're there for a specific purpose to be in a magazine or in an advertisement or whatever, these private clients have been coming to me a lot more in the last few years, doing a lot of private portrait type work like that, whether it's a Valentine's Day gift for their husband, or just something that they saw a picture that really spoke to them and they really wanted to have that same type of experience, which is kind of one of the biggest compliments I think I can get as a photographer. It's really exciting to know that women are interested in wanting to be a part of the whole photographic experience and that they really get me and really hear the voice that's coming through my work.
Do you find that when you have individual clients come to you, are they looking for more of Amy, do what you do, or are they looking for more boudoir stuff? I mean, what do you find that women are coming to you when they come as an individual client? Because I don't think you're really billing yourself as a portrait slash something photographer. You do what you do. Do people come to you and say, I just want to book a session. I don't care what you want to make me do. Or do they come in with a predefined conception of what they want?
I mean, I certainly don't bill myself as a portrait photographer. I mean, do I enjoy doing that type of work? For sure. But I would never look at the work I do and call it a portrait anyway. So I'll get emails from people saying, do you accept private clients? It looks like so much fun. It looks exciting. And I'd love to be a part of what you do. So when they show up to the shoot, it would be a very rarity that they would have any sort of preconceived notions of what they want me to shoot. They're usually a blank canvas. I'm open to whatever. Just let me know. But beforehand, I'll give them a call or we'll meet up and I'll go over, this is kind of how it works, which is based on just talking to them and getting a feel for who they are. I always conceptualize an idea, be it somebody in a kitchen or some sort of like a scenario. So we can almost make it like a little mini movie of them. Or if they really want something where it's like a little bit more boudoir in the bedroom, so we'll focus on that. But I always try to come up with some sort of an activity to give them to do, and we'll kind of go over it almost like they're playing a role in a movie. And I'll give them really specific ideas and instructions so that they can come into it having this kind of a feeling that they're really almost like a movie star for the day. They get really excited, and it's really playful then.
Do you direct everything per se, or do you take a woman and say, okay, well, here, let's put this outfit on and then go sit over there? And do you try to direct body movement and what they're doing, or are you able to extract their feminine, sexy nature from them, from basically the environment and what they're doing? How much is directed, or how much is it that you're able to pull out the essence of that woman just based off of what they're wearing and the scenario that they're in?
That's a great question, because that's so much a part of what I do and why I love to be a photographer and do what I do. It's for sure extracting who they are as a person. I mean, even when I work with professional models, they're there, they know what they're doing. If you can get beyond that and get something really genuine out of them, then I feel like I've done my job. So when a private client comes to me and they want to take these types of photos, the reason I kind of set up these scenarios, and I love to shoot people in their own homes because they feel the most comfortable, the whole purpose of everything I do is to really bring something new out in them, or have them discover something about themselves they didn't know was there before. And when women get in front of the camera that aren't used to being photographed, or even some that do, they're immediately self-conscious. All sorts of body issues come up, or self-awareness. And what I've kind of created for myself in my career is trying my best to really bring something new out in them, to have them have this amazing experience, so the photos in the end are something just to remind them of the experience, as well as being these beautiful pictures. And I think that's one of the qualities that I've brought to photography through my career, is that I really have that type of a gift of relating well to people. And I'm not a perfect woman, and my career was really born of being this young girl who was really insecure, chubby kid, looking at fashion magazines, feeling super self-conscious, being kind of confused about who I was and where my place was in the world, because if this is what women look like, what was going to become of me? My dad gave my sisters and I these cameras as kids, and I picked it up and started taking pictures of my sisters, and we played dress up. And it was fascinating to me to think, okay, so wait, if I put this outfit on and I put mom's lipstick on and I put the light from the lamp in this direction and I have all these shadows on my backside and take the picture, like, I can kind of not just convince myself I look that way, but really feel beautiful. And it was just such a transforming experience that kind of molded everything about my life, who I am today, my career. And then when I'd walk away from that moment, when you're a kid, you play dress up and there's that deflating moment when you're done and mom calls you in for dinner and all of a sudden the fantasy's gone. Through photography, I realized I would have these pictures, I would develop them. I had proof that that happened. And this like happiness I felt and this emotional like being satisfied with myself and self-worth could live on through these pictures forever. So that's where my style was born. And now when I work with these women, it's all photo therapy. Whether it's a paid client or not, it's really for me about bringing it to the next level with the person. Having them really connect with themselves, connect with me behind the camera. Part of it's about them. Some of it's about me. It's kind of a beautiful dance we do with the photography. So that was a long explanation.
No, it's very cool. And I think it's so amazing on how you can extract, even with these models, and I'm sure some of the images on your website are not models, but nevertheless, that you can pull this type of imagery out of the subject that you're shooting, and it's not all about, okay, well, let's be sexy, so you just take your clothes off. I mean, 99% of every image that's on your website, everybody's fully clothed, but you're able to extract this feeling, this sense of extreme feminism, and it's super sexy stuff, but you're not exploiting the woman's body to make it sexy. Where I think you would have a better touch at doing this as being a girl than if maybe it was a guy photographer. I could be wrong there too, but I think you have a certain way, as you just explained, that you're in touch with what is really cool and hot.
Well, yeah, certainly there's a level of compassion that I bring that a man, just by nature of not being a woman, couldn't bring at the same level. So I have a level of compassion that allows me to connect with the women. And also, I think that women, I'm sure a million male photographers will think I'm absolutely out of my mind, but I think that being a woman, they just feel more comfortable with me in general, or at least in certain instances they do. I mean, it's all personality stuff too. Different people bring different things to the table. What I'm able to bring is a level of relating to people, whoever they are. When I first started shooting kind of a bit more fashion, I was on this one shoot and we were getting ready to have lunch or something. And I can't even remember what the exact scenario was. So I was trying to remember it before we started talking earlier, but I asked something and they said, oh, it's just the model, who cares? Maybe we were talking about the food or ordering or whatever, but they were like, oh, it's just for the model, who cares? She's fine. And I was, what? Like, she's a part of this too. Like, if it wasn't for her being who she is, we wouldn't be able to create these pictures. But a lot of the models are so discarded, I've found, especially in the fashion arena, and they're really just there to look pretty, and people discount them as a person. And I've met so many models that have lower self-esteem than I did when I was 5 years old. It's just mind-blowing. They can smile, they can look natural, they can do this, they can do that, but it's their job. And so even now for me, when I shoot models, which is fairly often, I want to connect with them. I want it to not be something that they're just paid to do. I want it to really try to take it to the next level. So it's layered on an extra challenge for me as a photographer, but it also makes me feel good about myself at the end of the day. I know that the whole experience is still great. So what I do is I love to take pictures, but I want to enjoy the process as well.
So out of all the different genres and type of photography you do, I mean, you've been doing a lot of fashion, a lot of very intimate portrait stuff. What do you really dig the best? I mean, what do you really are the happiest shooting?
The intimate portraits, for sure. I mean, it's exciting because you can be the most creative. I love it all, honestly. It's just nice because it gives me a well-rounded life to lead, that I get to do all these different types of things. But for sure, the intimate portraits. It's so exciting when a woman comes to me and says, do whatever you want. And then I can conceptualize it from the very beginning to the very end and art direct it. Then it becomes like a painting, like a piece of art that I created myself, head to toe, and I love that. It's great.
If you look at the images on your site, you have a lot of women that conform to societal standards that are sized and proportioned correctly. Do you find it to be a bigger challenge if you get a client? And I'm sure this is probably more so on the personal end and not so much on editorial, that if you look at the average sized American woman is not a size 4. So you have all these great images of these, you know, beautiful women that are size 4, size 2. But do you find it to be a bigger challenge to draw out this femininity if someone's a size 12 or a 14? I think that the American standard now is what, 12 or 14?
Yeah, this is so funny that you're saying that, because if you look on my website under the women portfolio, like the opener, at least right now, this black and white photographs of this girl's back that I shot during a shoot for Ms. Moo's shoes, that is a model. But almost everybody else in that section are real people. I wouldn't say almost all of them, but at least 50% of those are real women, meaning they're definitely not size 2 or size 4, but that's why I do what I do, and none of those pictures are retouched. There's nothing on my website that I've retouched. It's film, they're straight.
I just wonder that if maybe you have larger size women that refrain from using your service because they're scared that they can't be made into this super sexy image that you've created with these other ones. Or do you find if you get someone that is, I guess you wouldn't even say plus anymore, if they're a standard size based off American population, maybe different in other countries, but I think on the American size, if they are completely, as you would say, average normal, is it a bigger challenge for you to be able to draw out the sensual aspect if someone's bigger than a size, let's say 6 or 8?
I wish I was a size 2, but I'm not. So I've developed a certain level of trust with the people that I meet. It's really flattering and, you know, a great honor that they put so much trust in me and they feel comfortable and safe with me and allow me to take these pictures. I photograph women all the time that are size 10, 12, 14, and I actually feel more comfortable photographing them in sensual situations than I do somebody that's a size 2. I have a much harder time photographing super tiny models than I do the average person. Like I said before, a lot of what I do in my photography is so emotionally driven. And I do what I do because I need to and I'm driven to emotionally. I find the average woman more sensual, beautiful, real than I find the size 2 woman. And I also have then those flashbacks to me as a kid and feeling such low self-esteem and such low self-worth looking at these women that I never thought I could achieve that. So part of it for me too is probably on a small emotional level, feeling like I can relate to the average woman more than I can relate to the smaller woman. So when I do have to photograph them in some sort of a sexy situation, it's actually harder for me. I feel like I end up using props more or using more than just them. But it just depends what we're talking about. Because if you're talking about a fashion or advertising job or whatever, you shoot who you shoot and you do your absolute best. If we're talking about private clients and who I feel like I make the most beautiful art from, then it's normally more of an average size woman.
Do you find that dealing with people that have a larger stature personality-wise, and I'm talking like at least one section of your imagery is famous people, movie stars, people in the music. Do you find that those people have more of a block, that it's harder for you to get that connection with when you're doing this type of work that you're doing because they put up this barrier that you have to break down harder, or it doesn't matter if they're famous or not? You don't care and it doesn't ever cause an issue?
It doesn't cause an issue on my end. I mean, certainly people that are celebrities come in with a preconceived notion. they're photographed a lot, so they know how they look good. They know their angles. They know what they feel comfortable with. So it's certainly more of a challenge, but it's always exciting for me. I mean, I'll take a challenge on any day of the week. So, I mean, that certainly has been a challenge in the past. However, at the end of the day, when you've gotten past those barriers and they've had a great experience and you're hugging and kissing and saying, I'll see you next time you're in town, you know, success has happened. So it's definitely been a little bit more of a challenge. But I think just because of the type of person I am, I'm like the most laid-back chick ever. But I know what I want, and I think that I'm fairly good at getting it, and I think the end result shows that I'm capable. So people tend to trust me. And I've been really lucky so far, even in the celebrity arena, as far as just being able to connect beyond the surface, going to a different level with them, and then them feeling safe enough to release, let go, and go with it. Polaroid helps.
Well, exactly.
As soon as they see one or two shots of themselves or they look good, they're like, all right, let's do it.
So what about shooting guys? I mean, how's your experience with shooting men? Do you feel that you're just more comfortable with doing women, or do you find that men don't seek you out to have their images shot because of whichever?
I certainly have more work to show of shooting women, so those are the jobs that tend to come my way. It's fine with me because that's what I love to shoot, but I have been shooting men a little bit more these days. I've started doing a few for musicians and whatnot. So I've been expanding into shooting men and diversifying a little bit more lately. Is it harder? It's not that it's harder. It's just not as natural of a fit for me. My strengths certainly lie in connecting with women. And even though I'm married to a beautiful man who probably doesn't understand why, after 8 years of being together, I don't take more pictures of him. It's just everyone does something good, and it's not necessarily my niche. So I've been really enjoying the fact that lately I've been getting some opportunities. I did an advertising campaign for Kodak last year for their pro motion picture film, and that was a man. I've been doing these couple musicians lately. It's been great. I've enjoyed it, but I'm not trying to make some major shift. I've worked with a bunch of different friends that are photographers, and when you first got out of school and people were confused about what they wanted to do and weren't sure what avenue to take, there were some of us that were determined and we knew, and this was the one type of genre for us. And there were so many other people that even today, if you look online at websites for photographers, oh, I shoot weddings, oh, I shoot kids, oh, I shoot automobiles, oh, I can do architecture, I do landscape, I can do boudoir. It's like, just choose what you do and do it the best. And that's kind of always been my motto. I mean, can I shoot a wedding? Probably. Am I going after them? No. I do love to shoot kids, and I do that quite a bit. But that's also connected with pregnancy and women, and that kind of flows all together out of what I do anyway. But could I go shoot a building? Yeah, but it's not going to be as good as the guy that does it regularly. Could
right.
I do food? I guess, but why would you hire me for food over somebody else that does it all the time? So can I shoot men? Sure. Can I do it great? I think so. But is that why people think of me when they hear my name? No, probably not.
Well, exactly. Let's talk about some of your earlier deals. So I want to talk about the story about your dad giving you guys cameras. How old were you when you got your first camera and started getting into shooting this play photography and the high fashion stuff you were doing with your sister?
Probably four. I think four is the age I've come up with in the past. So yeah, he gave us these cameras, and I still have it actually. I remember putting our name on it and these little stickers and feeling like it was the coolest thing in the whole world. And it was a 35mm little film camera, and we'd take it to Venture, Kmart, and drop them off and get them processed. I definitely just connected with it immediately. I mean, it was fun to take. It was like, ha-ha, fun. You're snapping pictures. But then when I got that first roll of film back and the magic happened, which is still to this day, like the anticipation, I can't imagine being a digital photographer who never had the experience of film, because there's so many of them out there. They just don't even understand what that anticipation feels like. It's like Christmas morning. It's magic. It's like opening a birthday present. So we'd pick up the first time film, looked at the pictures, and it was just like overwhelming, okay, this is it. Feeling of like absolute magic.
So how did that progress through your childhood and going through school? At that point, was it you always had a camera with you? You were taking pictures? Did you always take pictures when it was sort of dress up and fun time, more of a fantasy thing? How did the progression of photography go as you got older?
It was definitely more fantasy for me. I mean, I'm still to this day the girl that has the Happy Snap camera in my purse at all times. I love that I got a camera phone. Oh my gosh. But I'm not a documentary photographer. I mean, I am to a certain extent when I photograph women and I have them in a scenario and I, in a way, document them. It's like a small part of what I do. But for me, it was always really about fantasy. I liked creating these scenarios. I went through a whole phase where I made myself human paper doll clothes and painted them. And I liked making myself into these different creatures and characters than having the proof afterwards on the film. So I started out doing these pictures of my sisters or myself or my little brother. Then it went to, I had all these ideas, and I think I was probably just too embarrassed to ask somebody else to do them for me. So I started taking pictures of myself, and a lot of that, too, was just looking in the mirror and not seeing what I saw in the magazines and really discovering that it was possible to get closer and feel more what I thought must have been average, because I saw it in all these magazines everywhere and pictures and billboards and advertisements and whatever. So I started really taking these pictures of myself where I felt like suddenly I was glamorous and I was beautiful and I could stretch my arms up high and take a picture and look how skinny I looked. So that was kind of the next phase, was turning the camera on myself. I got really into theater in high school, so then all of a sudden I had access to all these costumes and it was just fascinating. So that was kind of the progression. It became my style really immediately from the time I had a camera. I mean, I always knew I had something there, but once I started photographing my friends in college, that was when I really knew I was taking it to a different level. I still always thought as a kid that maybe I'll just figure out what I want to do exactly. I don't think I really realized until later that I had figured it out. In college, I started photographing my friends and the same thing, just wanting them to feel like as beautiful as I knew they were and to see themselves through my eyes. Then when I started getting the reactions to the work and I realized that I wasn't looking anymore, this was really it. Like, I could really do this. People were interested in the work and people wanted to see it and people were getting excited about it. I started getting published. Yeah, it was really just this natural growth of my style. And especially looking back now as an adult and a professional and thinking about it, it's kind of emotional and overwhelming. It's exciting to realize that that really came with me throughout my life. And coming from an artist doesn't really hurt things either. My dad's an amazing artist. He did enamel work, jewelry work, sculpture. He was an amazing illustrator. Well, still is. And then he got more into graphic arts and whatnot. But art was always such a big part of my life, and I was so encouraged to be creative. They never had any misconceptions that I was going to be a doctor or a lawyer. They always knew what was coming.
So let's chat about that. You attended Brooks Institute in Santa Barbara.
That's right.
The same graduating class as Jose Villa, Leah McCormick, some other of our friends. Tell me about your time at Brooks, and let's chat now about that Brooks doesn't even have a film program anymore. So tell me about your experience at Brooks and working with these other folks and some of the stuff you guys had to go through comparative today. It's sort of Bummer City.
I don't want to sound like I'm totally out of it, but I didn't know they didn't have a film program anymore. That's actually news to me.
I think it's all digital now. I mean, from what I've heard.
Wow, that's devastating.
I don't know how much you got to go through RIT when you did your speak there, but if you look at RIT, you used to have 100 dark rooms, right, or more. We were there a few months ago, and it's just like they've gone through with the bulldozer and just ripped everything out, and there's like a pile, like, hey, you want an enlarger? Take one with you on the way out the door.
Oh, no. Honestly, the RIT got snowed out.
Oh, well, there
you go. I didn't make it off the tarmac, so we're rescheduling it. I think they're trying to wait till the weather clears up a little bit. No, I mean, I got snowed out going for a job in New York today, so I think we're trying to plan again for March or April. But, yeah, I'm excited to see it. I've been up at Kodak a few times and spoken at Kodak. So, Brooks, I loved my time in school. I mean, the first time I ever drove into Santa Barbara, I knew before I'd even been to campus that I was going to go there. I mean, I was so overwhelmed by everything about it. And then as soon as I walked onto the Montecito campus, which unfortunately is no longer part of the school, it was just so overwhelming and beautiful, and the people were cool, and they were doing cool things, and I loved every second. I think in the first day when you had to stand up and introduce yourself, I like burst into tears out of excitement. So, yeah, I mean, I really took advantage of my time there, and Paul Myers, an instructor there still, who to this day I can give credit for so much of what I've achieved and accomplished. So, I mean, I loved it. I can't say a bad thing about Brooks. I enjoyed every second of being there. I loved being a student. I was very involved. I took advantage of every minute. If they would have let me sleep in the dark room, I would have been there 24 hours a day. What's going on there now? Honestly, I get the alumni updates, and I didn't realize there wasn't a film program there anymore, and it's so sad. I mean, when I went there, I graduated in October 2001, and when I was there, I had one digital class, so it's just amazing how quickly things change. I mean, I was dipping, dunking 4x5 film. I didn't even know that that happened. So it's a real shame. I mean, if you're going to build the house, you got to lay the foundation first. And can I shoot digital now? Sure. Do I sometimes? Sure. But I know how to manipulate and get what I need out of digital because I know the properties of film. And I know what I'm missing in digital because I know the properties of film. Ah, it's so sad. But Brooks was great. I definitely couldn't say a bad thing about it. And if it wasn't for going to Brooks, I certainly wouldn't be the photographer that I am today.
Did you know when you were at Brooks what you wanted to do, that you wanted to concentrate on being the girl's girl photographer, that you wanted to do all the cool girly stuff? Or did Brooks sort of help you define what you were doing? Or did this happen when you left Brooks and split to New York City?
I mean, I connected with some of the teachers there. I was so into being there. I was so into school, and I was so into everything that I don't think it was a real mystery that I was like an open book and ready to learn and ready to do things. Because I was so immediately passionate already about what I'd done, I went there a little later. I was, I think, 23 when I started. So I went to the Kansas City Art Institute for a while first and went to Johnson County Community College in Kansas for a long time and took some time off to try to save money and wait tables and pray to God that eventually I could afford to go to Brooks. So by the time I got there, I couldn't wait to get in the darkroom. I couldn't wait to take pictures. I couldn't wait to do everything. I was literally just like a crazy sponge waiting to learn everything I could possibly learn. So I think that it was pretty clear immediately that I meant business and that I was really focused, and they really just encouraged that. I just was really lucky. Even early on in the first assignments in school when they made us do these crazy lighting assignments, everything I did would always have like a beautiful chicken lingerie in it or one of my friends being a little flirty. I took advantage of every assignment, even the ones that most people were blowing off saying that they were like these stupid, pointless technical assignments. The stupid, pointless technical assignment, I made it everything it could have been and more. So because of that, and because I was so focused, the instructors there really let me shine, let me do my thing, let me do whatever I needed to do to greet the images I wanted to make while still sticking to the curriculum and guidelines. So my style really developed in school. I mean, I always knew I wanted to photograph women, and I always had that from growing up and having that be my focus. But then once I figured out how to technically make all these ideas happen, and I always knew what I wanted it to look like, but when I got to Brooks, they taught me how to make it look that way. And that's when my style really took off, because I figured out how I could push and pull film and what grainy film was. I never even knew that 3200 speed existed in the world. At Brooks was when I really figured out just how to make all these visions come to life and how to really make my work what it is. So I definitely left there with a very defined style that has only grown with experience. What I do today is really the same thing I was doing there. It's just now I have more experience doing it. But it was terrific. I mean, I loved it, loved Brooks, loved Paul Meyer. So shout out to him.
So let's get geeky now that we've got a little bit inside your mind and what you're doing here and creating this fabulous photography. Let's talk about the gear itself. What are you shooting for camera-wise? What do you like gear-wise?
Sure, I am shooting a Hasselblad 501C. It's older than me. His name is Tom. And that is my go-to, Hasselblad. I have two of them. They're fantastic.
It's interesting, 120 back. That's interesting that you named your camera after a man. So tell me about the thought of that. You know, a lot of people and a lot of girls I know name their cars, and a lot of times they're women names too. But you have a Blad, and you named them Tom.
Because the first time I ever used a Hasselblad was in Tom Tarnowski's class at Johnson County Community College in Kansas City, where I'm from. And he was the instructor that taught me that camera. He was just so great, and I had all these great memories of being in his classes. And he was nurturing and amazing to me before I took off to go to Brooks. And during all those years where I wished I could afford to go to a different school, and I didn't, he let me do my thing there. So I was kind of just like a shout-out to him. He was terrific, and hopefully he's doing great things these days. But had to name it after him. Got to give credit where credit's due.
That's cool. So we got the Hasselblad. What's your favorite piece of glass on the Hasselblad?
I shoot a 80 millimeter. I mean, I have a 50, I have a 120, but I shoot just a good old 80 mostly. Yeah, it's funny. I know a lot of people are so tech savvy. I have the equipment that I use, and it works for me, and I love it, and I go with it. I'm not the person that's going to pick up all the techie magazines and run out and buy the next hot thing. I'm kind of a little bit old-fashioned. I'm a bit of a creature of habit. I have tools that work so well for me that I just, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I also do have a Mamiya 645. I've got my old Minolta X700, which I still love if I want to shoot 35. I love Polaroid cameras. I shoot with a Holga nonstop, but the Hasi is the way to go for me.
Very cool. So do you do any 35 millimeter or very limited?
Pretty limited. It's just a different thing. My camera, I look down at the viewfinder. 35, it's up at your eye level. So it's a different experience for me. Obviously, a different way of shooting. I do shoot it sometimes because I do love the Kodak T-Max 3200 film, and it doesn't come in 120. So I want to shoot that film, I'll shoot 35. Or if I want to just feel like a little bit more loose and have it feel a little bit more documentary and playful, I'll shoot 35. But I'm pretty focused on shooting 120.
Let's get into emulsions here. What's your favorite film and why?
Well, two films. When you look at my work, you see I obviously love black and white. So I shoot Kodak TX400. favorite film ever in the whole history of the universe. And the other is when I shoot color, I do Kodak 400 VC. When I want richer colors, which I usually do, my style tends to be a little bit more rich and vibrant and painterly. But when I do pregnancy portraits and things that I want to feel more natural, I'll do the Kodak 400 NC. So Tri-X, you don't even have to ask if anyone's ever shot a roll of Tri-X. They know why it's my favorite film. It's just the most beautiful film. There's so much flexibility in the emulsion and just the way that you can handle the film as far as like under, over, exposing, pushing and pulling and being able to blow out highlights or really capture detail in the shadows. And it's just a beautiful film. I mean, the grain is beautiful. It's probably not the most technical way to describe my love for it. It's just a beautiful film. And I've shot that throughout the years, and it's served me well. Kodak 400 VC, also similar reasons. I love overexposing it, and the colors, they're just these warm, lush, rich colors that you can get from it. And it still has pretty fine grain, even though it's a 400-speed film. However, if it's over or underexposed, you're still going to maintain details in the highlight and shadow. It's just beautiful. They're both really flexible films, and pretty much everything you've seen from me has been those films, with obviously a few others thrown in, but for the most part, those are the two films I shoot.
So are you souping and cooking everything yourself? Do you send it off to a lab? Who are you using? What do you do?
Yeah, I wish I was doing it all myself still. I did for years. I mean, not the color, although I printed color for a long time. Yeah, my passion for black and white darkrooms, however, runs a lot deeper. So up until probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was trying to get in the darkroom still once every other week, at least process my own black and white film, although then I'd send it out, and then life got busy, and it doesn't happen anymore, which I'm grateful for. But on the other hand, it's not the same experience when you're not getting your hands wet with the film yourself. So now I'm sending it out. I send everything to Manhattan Color Lab in New York. Nothing fancy, but they do a great job for me. I send the film there, and they do everything straight to high-res scans. So, yeah, they do a good job.
So talking about that, well, there's a couple of things I want to chat about, but let's get to this one first. Have you incorporated a hybrid workflow now, or is everything still traditional where if it's going to be black and white, it's a negative, a proof, and then a fiber print, or is it all scanned now and you go from there?
Yeah, I'm doing everything hybrid. A year and a half ago, Kodak invited me to be a part of a panel at Photokina speaking on the subject. Digital versus analog, and also do you actually work hybrid or how do you do it? And at the time, I was the one person on the panel. It was four men and myself. I was the only person saying, absolutely not. I do everything contact sheets. The client orders the print. I send them the print. They do whatever on their end. That's the way I do it. Since then, things have changed. As people push more and more towards digital, one way to be able to convince them to let you to continue to shoot film, or at least an easy way to convince them, is by offering to deliver it digitally anyway. So it's been really easy, and now that film is less and less common and the labs are less and less busy, they're really great about getting things to you super fast. I don't think I wait longer than 24 hours for anything. So when I pick up my film, I have the film process as well as a DVD of high-res scans, and off we go. So it's made things a lot easier that way, too, on my end. Not only can I deliver it to the client digitally, quickly, it's made things really easy for me, too. I have the scans there for my website or promotional pieces or my blog, whatever I want to do. It's all right there. And actually kind of great. I enjoy working this way.
No, it is cool. So let's chat about this then. A lot of people say that, okay, since you are using a hybrid workflow, why not just shoot everything on color and just do a conversion real quick off your scan and now you have black and white? Let me know your thoughts on that, because you're a true to the bone black and white girls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a reason that black and white films are what they are. I mean, if I want to shoot a beautiful black and white image, why spend all the time converting it and trying to make a color image look like a black and white image? Why wouldn't I just choose the black and white in the first place? I mean, Tri-X is such a beautiful film. The grain is beautiful. The latitude of it's beautiful. I mean, sure, color films are also beautiful, great, whatever. I know a lot of people color convert, but I'm a photographer. I'm not a digital technician. When I compose an image and I take a picture, why not do it in that one step? I mean, that's one reason anyway. A lot of it's emotionally based for me, what I do. So I just would feel like a fraud. For one, it's like people that shoot digital and try so hard to make it look like film. Well, why don't you just shoot film? It blows my mind. I just don't get it. If I want to shoot black and white, I shoot black and white. I'm one of those people that I see in black and white. I conceptualize in black and white. If it was up to me, the whole world would be black and white. So when I want to shoot black and white, that's what I shoot. And also, at my fingertips, I have these beautiful films like the TX400. So if I have that as a tool to use, why would I use something else and then try to fake it and fudge it and make it look like that? Go to the tool that's the best tool to use in your toolbox. So that's my argument.
So let's talk about when you capture these images and what you're doing. I think that the combination of what you're doing and how you're able to capture this femininity and this sexiness in these images, do you find that the black and white image even draws it out more? Since you're shooting the blood, you can switch backs real quick. So is it like, I'm going to nail this one in color and I want to shoot this in black and white? Have you done a comparison to see, or do you think yourself that the black and white stuff adds even more timeless femininity to the images and makes them even more sexier than a color would?
Yes, I totally do. It depends. If I'm photographing a woman and we decide to put her in this killer red lipstick and vibrant color, of course I'm going to shoot color film also. For me, I just think black and white strips everything else away, and it just really becomes an image about the person. Instead of the clothes, instead of the color, instead of the surroundings, I feel like it's just more honest. It's more raw, it's more honest, it is more timeless. And just from an emotional level, since that's where a lot of what I do comes from, it just speaks to me more. As a woman, as a photographer, I feel like also from a viewer standpoint, there's something about black and white that makes you feel like you could be a part of it, or it's like a place that you want to go. Whereas color is more reality-based, and it's here and now and what's happening, and that is what the world looks like. For me, photography is about creating a fantasy for people, and black and white speaks to that for me. Really, I feel like it helps really create that fantasy and takes every layer of what you would assume is your reality away from it and makes it its own separate little moment.
Very cool. So let's chat about some of the stuff that you haven't got to do and things that you're looking forward to in your photography and getting out your thoughts on what kind of images that you want to create that you haven't actually had a chance to do. Is there something that you want to do that you really want to go in a certain direction that you haven't got to do, maybe a certain publication that you want to get into? I mean, tell me what your thoughts are moving forward with what Amy wants to do.
Sure. The celebrity thing's been kind of exciting for me and been something that I've been not gearing myself towards, but trying to be more involved with, I guess. Just because when you photograph a model, they're a model. They're there for a reason. They do their thing. It's great, and I do my best to connect with them on a real level, but they are who they are. And a real woman is a real woman, and it's great, but most of those are private jobs. So on a commercial level, to me, the idea of shooting celebrities, they're kind of on the in-between. They're somebody that's used to being photographed a lot. However, on the other hand, they're also these real people who just have this public persona. So there's that layer of a challenge to get through. But yeah, it's just like the perfect in-between from the model to the real person in my mind, which has been fun. And they're also often up for doing fun, exciting things. And there's a lot of creative leeway with those types of situations. So I've been gearing myself a little bit towards that. Also, magazines lately have been shooting a lot more black and white. I mean, if you look at Elle magazine, which is one of my favorite magazines of all time, they have been doing black and white covers all the time. This last one, Jennifer Lopez, it was a grainy black and white, blown out, awesome photo. Yeah, so I mean, editorial-wise, I'd love to be shooting for Elle. I mean, that would, I guess, be my number one. They've bought some stock from me in the past, which has been exciting. But yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about who I'd love to call me tomorrow on the phone, I'll save them. The Dove campaign. Of course, I've always wanted to be involved in things like that. The editorial thing, I guess that would be more the reasons I choose Elle, for instance, is because they shoot black and white and it's super sexy and super fun and super playful. However, on the other hand, they are super fashion-y and I'm not super fashion-y. So if you want to go towards what my soul would want to shoot, like where I think that what I have to offer the world would be the best is things like the Dove campaign or Oprah or the organizations that speak more towards women and confidence. It's been such a big thing since the Dove campaign came out. I mean, how long ago was that now? Like 5 years? But they're still going strong, and it's still like a great positive message that is coming through to people. So I'm up for a couple big campaigns right now that are exciting, and most of those gear more towards what I do. I guess I probably shouldn't talk about them because I don't want to jinx myself, but if I get them, I'll let you know and we can do an update.
Cool stuff, and so. I think from all the photographers that I've been speaking to for over the years, it's just the body of work that you have and how you can actually pull out this femininity and these images with these women that you're shooting are just incredible and much better than I've seen by anybody anywhere.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. What a nice compliment.
Why don't you tell people where they can look at your website? They can really check out what you're doing. I'm sure when some of these people are going to see this stuff, even if they're photographers, are going to want to book you for some kind of session at least. And I know that you've got a blog, and there's a cool podcast on the Kodak's website that you've did some video pieces with them, so they can see a little bit of that and some of your thoughts. But where can they go look at your work and what you're doing?
Sure. Well, my website's the best place to start for sure, and that's amypostal.com, which most people spell my last name wrong, so I'm going to spell it for you. It is www.amypostle.com. So L-E, not A-L. And from there, you can link to my blog, which is blogspot.amypostal.com. Also, there's an Amy Postal fan page on Facebook, of course, because that's where the world is going. Just kind of hilarious that I even just said that, but it's true. Yeah, those are the places to find me. You can email me directly, amy@amypostal.com. I have commercial representation in New York with judithmillerinc.com. But people want to email me directly, by all means, please do. Yeah, check out my website and hope to hear from some of your listeners. Feel so lucky and excited to have been on today.
No, I think it's great. I think people definitely want to talk with you, and I think that there's a lot of people that really would love to see how they do this. So it's probably time that Amy starts doing some workshops. But I think that you can tell people what you're doing, and we chatted about what you're doing, but doing it is a different thing. Your style and technique has been evolving for many, many years.
Yes, that's true.
Something that's hard that you can just go in and replicate, because doing this is like a four-year-old kid on. It's hard to put all those experiences and all these things that you've been able to accomplish yourself into some 2 or 3 day class or even a 2 hour gig or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of levels to who I am and what I've done. And I have done a bit of teaching and workshops. And when I was at Brooks before I graduated, I helped develop their summer program for students, which is still going strong today. I taught that for a couple years, and I've done some private instructional type things. I worked a long time with kids with Down syndrome and also taught kids that had cancer and other serious diseases. And I really enjoy working with people. I'm happy to talk to people. I'm certainly interested in getting more involved in doing workshops. When you're asking me what's next for me, I love the idea of just helping people on a more obvious level. So I'm really interested in doing things like that. It's just been a matter of where does that go. I've been working on a book for a couple of years now that Kodak had showed some interest working with me on. And just a matter of making it all happen. So we'll see where life leads me. I mean, I hope for sure to hear from some of your listeners.
No, this is great. We're definitely going to chat again. There's a lot more stuff that we had to talk about, but I do appreciate the time to Amy. Beautiful, beautiful photography, and it's just cool to get the chat in. We definitely look forward to talking again real soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Scott. I really appreciate it, and all the best to you.
Well, there you go. Amy Postal, beautiful photography. What an inspiration to other people that want to shoot film, do all this beautiful work. Her work is so feminine, so sensual. It's just unbelievable, over the top. You really need to check out Amy's website. Keep track of what she's doing, and her use of film, black and white, with the use of grain and the way she does her images are just really, really cool. You definitely need to check out Amy's work. The Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful, over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. DR5 over at www.dr5.com. Iger Studios over at igerstudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, over at www.apug.org. Our photography philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.geh.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photography Radio. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.